No one can tell your story like you can. Welcome to another special edition of the Testament Podcast, which is a ministry of Canyon Creek Presbyterian Church. I am your host, the bearded one, a.k.a. Pastor Chris, and I am so glad that you are checking in back with us for another special installment of the pod. As you know, we're doing a special series on STIR, an alternative worship experience, and we are on the pod over the next few days. We are talking with folks who have visited a few times just to get their experiences and their insights into the experience, what you can expect if you're ever thinking about coming. So without sharing any further, I want to dive just quickly into this episode. And our guest on the pod today is Ashley Rossini. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for being with us on the pod.
Of course.
So before we begin, we always start this way. Just tell our tell our listeners, you know, just a little like who you are, you know, what do you do? What sort of your background professionally, you know, spiritually as well? Just anything about yourself you want to share?
Yeah, I'll give you my elevator pitch, I guess. So like you said, my name's Ashley. I'm from Dallas. I grew up in this church, was baptized at the one on Campbell Road.
Wow.
So old. I went to college at A&M. I worked in Teach for America for 2 years, and then after that, I transitioned into politics. So I did about a year working on political campaigns, did like kind of just scattered throughout. I did a district attorney race in Austin. I did a congressional race in Houston. I did a few more, but I am now working for a political consulting firm. I do what's called competitive media analysis, which means that, and it's very boring, so I won't go into details, but
Sounds fun.
You have been fooled then. it's basically just, I see who spends what for political media, so like broadcast, cable, radio, a little bit of digital, and I analyze it, turn it into points, for the people that have seen it, and then advise campaigns or issues. I do a lot of ledge work. So, for example, if there is, I specialize in healthcare. So, if there is a healthcare bill going through and like AARP is spending a lot of money endorsing it, then I would say to a PAC or something that you don't have to spend as much money because AARP is already spending money, but they're only reaching this certain demographic. So if you're going to spend it, then you should spend it differently, something like that.
Okay. So maybe on another pod, I got to get you in for another episode on the intersection of faith and politics.
You know, it's come up.
Is that, or does that sound like 111 pods, right?
You know, I mean. Yeah, that sounds like more than you think you're in for.
That's what we like on this podcast. That's why we call it Testament, right? People's stories. I'd love to do that. Just some shameful promotion there. I guess what I wanted to ask you about, obviously we're talking about STIR, and one of the things we, as part of this series, is what we're trying to do is just raise a little bit of awareness about STIR within the congregation. And so I just want to start with a question I've started all these conversations with. What comes to your mind when you think of the word worship?
Well, I guess it kind of would depend on the context, because I guess it kind of branches into two for me, where one would be kind of a more traditional one. Like I said, I was raised in this church, so like the 9 o'clock service before it was contemporary, or the 11 o'clock service now. It was 9 o'clock when I was a kid, and it was not like it is now. But that, just because that's where I grew up, that's kind of like the context of the foundation of my understanding of it. I have figured out for myself as I get older that I do not necessarily feel connected in that situation. And it's not, I mean, qu- choir is great, stained glass windows are great, like all that stuff's great. There's, I don't have anything against it.
Sure.
I just don't feel connected in that situation. It feels more like bureaucratic than it feels like relational,
mm-hmm.
like a relationship between like me and God.
Sure, sure.
And it feels much more like establishment than it feels like a relational situation. So when I would say worship in like a different context, it would be much more, I mean, not conversational, but more of like a dialogue between myself and God.
Okay. So when you thought about the first time you decided to come to visit Stir, what made you decide to visit Stir the first time?
Well, you weren't subtle with the promotion.
Yeah, I know.
The fact that you texted me played a role in it. But also, I mentioned before, like, I personally don't feel like I am in a situation where I am, like, connecting with my creator in any way on, like, a traditional Sunday morning.
Sure.
Because of a lot of reasons,
sure.
But I am looking, and I'm always looking, and I think everyone's always looking.
Oh, absolutely.
For like a way to feel connected and to feel like you are developing a better relationship. I mean, everyone, on the most fundamental level, like everyone wants to feel connected. Everyone wants to feel like loved. And like everyone wants to feel that from their creator. And
sure.
I was looking and am always looking for kind of a better way to feel that in a traditional church context.
Sure, that makes sense. So how has, when you've experienced Stir, what about Stir was meaningful to you?
I personally really appreciate kind of the stripped back nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, and again, nothing against hymns. Like, they're fine. Like,
sure,
I know
sure,
a lot of
absolutely.
People feel connected to them, and that's awesome. It's
yeah.
just I do not.
Sure.
But I do feel really connected, like, through music and through art. So having more of like an acoustic type situation, again, more stripped, more raw, makes me feel a lot more connected.
Sure.
I also, I feel like I'm just like bashing on traditional church.
No,
and I'm not trying to, but like.
No, and that's yeah. And Stir is not for, you know, we were not Stir. The implementation, the vision was never to work against. It was to provide another expression,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Like an
so,
alternative.
Absolutely. So it's kind of hard to stay away from that language, but we all know that that's not what it's doing. Is
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
No worries at all.
I just like I know, for example, my dad likes the tradition and the rituals that are associated.
Sure. Absolutely.
With a like an 11 o'clock service.
Sure.
I do not. I find them to be kind of tedious. And I certainly don't see God in, like, repeating something that's on a page. Like, I just don't. It's not how I connect.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
And so the fact that it's much more to the point, it's, like, music and then the sermon and then, like, you can get communion if you want. You can talk to people if you want. Like, it's not... like, I remember in confirmation, I don't know if the kids still do this, but I would sit in the balcony on the top left,
because
I had to, like, fill out my notebook of
right.
getting enough sermons in, and I got into a little bit of trouble because I got bored during the pre-sermon portion of church, and
sure.
In my mind I was like, I don't have to pay attention, it's not the sermon, like, what else? And so I I picked up the oh, what is it called when you write your name on it and you pass it down to the next person that writes their name on it?
I'm sure it's probably been called many things over the years. Friendship pads.
Yes, the friendship pad.
There you go.
So I picked up the friendship pad and pulled out like little itty bitty pieces of papers and got them in people's hair and dropped them down because I was bored. Because I was like, I don't feel anything for this. And I still don't. And like, maybe when I'll get older, I'll develop an appreciation for it. But at this point in my life, I do not have one.
That's an awesome answer.
Yeah. You can talk to my mom about that one. She's real proud.
That's awesome. So when you say that, right? So we talk about like what's meaningful. What has there anything about it that's kind of challenged you?
Yeah. Well, I think it was like the second stir when I don't talk in church. I enjoy when other people do actually, cause I want to hear what they have to say,
yes.
But like, I don't want to talk. So I think it was like the second one when you had like a call and response thing and you were like staring daggers at me and
I would never do that.
And I literally just sat there with a smile on my face with mouth silent because I was not going to talk.
You weren't, because I tried like three times.
I know. And then afterwards I went up to you and I said, Christopher, I do not speak during church services. Because I do not.
But I had to try.
I respect the game, but you have to understand that door is locked and that key is in the ocean.
Right.
But, I mean, honestly, at the first it made me uncomfortable when like other people were talking in general. Like, that made me very uncomfortable because I was like, why are we talking? You're supposed to be talking.
Right. Yeah.
That made me very uncomfortable.
Sure.
But now I like hearing what other people have to say.
Yeah. It's a different way of like, because most of what we typically do is we are spoken to, and it's so different when, or I can even remember, you know, I can even remember when I was talking, and obviously the messages are very conversational, but it was interesting because someone asked me a question midstream and almost threw me off a little bit, even though when we always say, hey, you can ask questions at any time. It's one of those things where, like, I didn't think anybody was actually going to ask a question in the middle of the message.
But someone did.
And it almost completely threw me off. So I can totally relate because I had to, like, be able to respond to that, but also at the same time stay and not lose my place. But then I just kind of just said, oh, I'll come back to my place. But I can totally relate because I was just, like, I was hoping I didn't appear, like, completely caught off guard. But that happened to me.
Yeah. Well, I was very bamboozled when...
Yes.
You were like, are you going to talk now? And I was like, no. And honestly, it makes me really uncomfortable that you're even asking.
So then I'll ask and then follow. This is just an empty stare. Are you sure?
Yeah. And I'll look back at you, empty stare, and say
no.
I'm really sure. Thank you, though.
So as you know, obviously with your background, right, you growing up in the church and then experiencing mm-hmm. something, you know, really different like this. Why would you say from a particular element that you might have found challenging or an element that you found meaningful, why would you say the church needs something like a stir?
Yeah, well, I, like you said, I grew up at this church.
Sure, yeah.
Specifically in the 90s, God's Frozen Chosen. We did not sway. We did not clap. We stood up and we stood down when directed. And it was very processional.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think that there is a big group of people that when you are having that level of structure, feel kind of constrained, and then you have the like 14-year-olds in the balcony dropping paper in people's hair because you what else are you gonna do?
Sure.
Like, because yes, we are like reading a call and response, and
right.
you should sit there and like ponder what it means and what it means to you, and
sure.
But a
Absolutely.
Lot of people, myself
Absolutely.
Included, are not. That's not the most organic way for that to happen. A much more organic way for me to And for, I think, a fair amount of people, especially, like, millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm too old to be Gen Z. But yeah. I assume them as well.
Sure, sure.
But we, in general, do not handle super tight constraints well.
Right.
So, like, the very tight constraint of a traditional worship service is not necessarily the best way to develop a relationship with God. It's a way to have a church service, but it isn't necessarily a way to have like a connection with God for everybody.
Sure, right. Yeah. Totally get that. So speaking of the various like moments and different some of the different things we do in STIR, what would you say to you are the more impactful moments? As far as practices that we do,
yeah,
or like
one
the
thing,
different parts.
One thing that I personally really enjoy is we do a lot of like meditation,
mm-hmm.
Which I love. Kind of like I was saying earlier, like if there's a call and response portion and it's written on the paper, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to like fully engage with it.
Sure.
Where if there's like silence and someone leading you and like how are you thinking and how are you feeling about this, it makes me internalize the message a lot more.
Sure.
And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy like meditation as a form of prayer, meditation as a form of
sure.
like self-care, and also like meditation as a form of worship.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny that you say that because that's the most difficult part for me. Learning, you know, it's been a growing edge for me is the idea of like contemplative prayer and like silence. I don't do anything silently. I always have music, or even just like spiritual practices like focusing on breathing and things like that. Like whenever someone initiates one of those, you know what I'm talking about? Like they place your feet firmly on the ground. I start thinking about like what I'm doing, what I got to do tomorrow. It's just so hard for me to turn my brain off and to really sink deep. And so the first couple, I told Diane, who really leads those well, she has such a good gift for that. I told like the first two, I just struggled with because it's so hard for me to just disconnect because I'm such a busybody. But as we've done those more, I've come to find a place where I'm able to actually do that. Because I'm sitting there thinking about what's next in the service. You know, I'm trying to think about, do mm-hmm. I need to go mute the microphone or something like that? But how I've even connected in that way. And it's still not entirely comfortable
mm-hmm.
For me, but it's hard. I feel like I can't expect someone else to be uncomfortable if I'm not willing to at least try something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, I can totally see that. Cause I found some meaning in that when it wasn't always easy. Cause I was like, somebody please say something. the silence is it's making me crazy. What would you say to someone who may be considering coming to STIR but may just be hesitant? What would you say to that person if they were considering but not quite sure?
Like going once?
Yeah, just.
I mean, there's literally nothing to lose. Like it's like an hour. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're deciding like to buy a car. Like you're deciding what you're doing with one Thursday evening. Just on a more pragmatic standpoint.
Sure.
That would be, I mean, there you can see my analyst side coming in.
Love it. Yes.
Where I'm like, if you weigh the pros and cons, but also, on a different level. I mean, like I said, everyone, it's just human nature to like want to seek connection
mm-hmm.
in general. And if you're coming to church, then I would expect that you're at least looking for some sort of connection with the Creator. And if you feel like there's a possibility that this would make you more connected, then that's like a really, really awesome thing that could happen if you do it. And if you don't, then nothing gained, nothing lost. But if you do go, then it would be possibly something gained and still nothing lost, which is also an analyst answer. I'm sorry.
No, that makes sense.
But it's also, I mean, it's also a way that I personally feel connected.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you have ever been in a church service and not felt engaged, which I would say 100% of people have.
Sure.
At some point, then like try something else and see if you engage in a different way.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That's, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be like deep. Just try it, right? Nothing too bad.
It's free. Like, right. There's no reason.
Yeah, that's true. We're pretty, that's true. No, thank you for that insight. That's actually very eye-opening for me, because I'm always looking for depth, and sometimes depth is in the simplicity, right? I asked the same question to another person who had visited, and I said, "What would you say?" And she said, "I'll pick you up."
Oh wow!
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes it doesn't have to be like this.
That's a better answer than mine.
Super deep.
I'm sorry.
Like, you should come to Stir because you're going to be elevated, you know, and float off the ground. No, it's just maybe might not hurt. Just like to try something, you know, to try a different food or a cuisine. Except this is more or less spiritual food, right? But just to try something different, I think is sometimes I think keeping it simple in that way is more helpful. Then
yeah.
I do. I really do.
Go back and re-record mine to the "I'll pick you up." That's a better answer.
No, yours was really good too.
Yours
was really good too. We've had some really good answers today, but thank you for coming on the pod with us.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate you. We always end the pod this way. I know it sounds like, why do we keep saying this over and over again? But that's what we do. You know, in such a divided world, when conversations are hard to have, when there's so much angst over what's right or what's wrong, and who gets to declare what's right or what's wrong, here on this podcast, I always like to leave you with a thought. If you're ever faced with a situation where you're faced with doing what's right versus doing what's wrong, always err on the side of doing what's most loving. And if we all do that, you kind of can't go wrong that way. Hope you all have enjoyed this installment of the podcast. We look forward to being with you again. Have a good day.